This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Zechariah chapter 4. I want to bring a quick charge tonight. As you might have seen on the posters for the conference, we have a bit of a lineup of ministers in the course of this year's conference. And by God's grace, they will all be coming to us. My father in the Lord, my very father in the Lord, will be with us for the very first time in our annual conference this year. His Pastor Ame Amana will join us. Another elder who is also a father to me and to so many other people will be coming our way, Evangelist Sunday Okuche. And then my friend and brother, Apostle Laramie Osai, will also be coming our way in the course of the conference. Minister Theophilus is coming our way already. Glory to God. And the angel that talked with me came again and walked me as a man that is waking, and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and he seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. That's quite a structure there. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Alright, this evening, I can't do much because of our time. It's the opening night, so I just bring a quick charge and we will pray, and then we will begin the journey in earnest by tomorrow, by the grace of God. So, the topic for our consideration in the course of this week is by my spirit, by my spirit. It is talked in the sixth verse of the passage that we have read. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So, when this word came to the prophet Zechariah, it is that this word is supposed to be for Zerubbabel. So, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Now, I need you to realize that Zerubbabel is being given a word from the Lord in the course of an activity. It's a rebuilding project, not really a building, but a rebuilding project. The details of part of what is going on here you'll find in the book of what? Haggai. Now, all of that story are stories that you probably do know. And in the course of trying to rebuild the house of the Lord, one of the wisdom that Zerubbabel needed is this instruction that the Lord was sending to Zerubbabel, which is to tell Zerubbabel that it is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit. Now, when you read the passage up until this point, this seems to be a little bit of a disjointed statement. Like, how did we suddenly arrive at not by might, not by power, but by my spirit? And then, what exactly does it mean? What exactly does it mean? I'm going to leave the contextual, doctrinal situation of the passage and then try to deal with the context itself. Just the context of how to make sense of not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Because it is in the context of that you will understand what it means when the Bible says, by my spirit. Because Zerubbabel is supposed to be building, right? Zerubbabel is supposed to be building, and there were temptations, there were attacks, there was, you know, discouragement and all of that. And at some point in the book of Haggai, when the word of the Lord was coming, maybe we probably should read the book of Haggai, because I'm going to keep making reference to it. Haggai chapter 2. From verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Do you see? It's the same person. Alright? So the word of the Lord is saying, be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work. So, the idea is, be strong and work. Why? For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. In verse 5, the Bible says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. So on the one hand, God is saying to these people, be strong and be strong and walk. Be strong and walk. And then he's saying, I need you to be strong and walk because according to that word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, according to that word, my spirit still remains among you. Therefore, do not fear. Are you there? So you have this spirit of God sandwiched between two facts that God is calling the attention of Zerubbabel and his company to. Number one is you have to be strong and you need to walk. Number two is you do not have to fear. And the galvanizer of those two statements is my spirit. Please, I need you to come with me. It is like a sandwich. It's like, why is God saying, be strong and walk? Why is God saying, do not be afraid, do not fear? It is because my spirit is with you. My spirit remains among you. So, when you hear in the book of Zechariah, the Lord saying through the prophet to say to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It is not to say that by my spirit means because my spirit is going to execute what my spirit is going to execute, then the human person is absolutely unnecessary or irrelevant in the process. No. As you can see, they are saying to the same Zerubbabel, be strong and walk. And then you now say, why should I be strong and walk? God says, because my spirit is available. Then God is saying to Zerubbabel, don't fear.
Zerubbabel says, why should I not be afraid? God says, because my spirit is with you. So you see that the presence of the Spirit of God, the promise and the reality of the Spirit of God is actually supposed to be the incentive. Are you there? It's supposed to be the encouragement that you need. It's supposed to be your incentive unto labor. It's not supposed to be an excuse or an exemption to say, oh, because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the things, I don't need to do a thing. Are you there? Because God is saying, it is by my spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It is by my spirit. Then we say, okay, since it's by the Spirit of God, let's go and sleep. Because there are Christians, in Christians, actually, there are people, and I'm saying Christians inclusive, that believe that God will do what God will do. Have you heard that kind of talk before? Like, don't worry yourself. God will do what God will do. We'll get there. But I'm trying to put it in context to you. Already you can see that that is not completely an accurate way to process things. The involvement of God in a project or in a matter is supposed to be the motivation for you to throw all of your life into it. Anything that God is not involved in, please save your energy. Don't get involved in it. If you cannot find God in it, in Psalm 127, very popular passage of scripture, I think in Psalm 127 verse 1, the Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor, but they labor in vain that build it. One of the immediate questions that might come to your mind, if you look at this a little bit intently, will be, can we stay in one place? Who is the builder? Is it the Lord? Or is it they that build? Because you say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If the Lord build a house, why do people need to labor to build it? If they need to labor to build it, what did the Lord build? Because the idea is not that whether the Lord is building or the Lord is not building, labor is involved either way. The only difference is that if the Lord is not building, the labor will be in vain. If the Lord is involved, then the labor will not be in vain. So either way, labor will be part of the equation. I'm saying to you, when God says, by my spirit, God is literally trying to mobilize us for the labor of our lives. That, because I know the Lord is building. All right? He says, except the Lord watch over a city. That was the next, in that passage. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. The Lord is the one keeping the city. And except the Lord is keeping the city, the gatemen, the watchmen, they are watching in vain. I remember the story of that grandmom, granny that came to visit our people in the city of Lagos. An evening devotion, she was praying. And in prayers, the normal things we say, well, we want to go and sleep. We thank God. We ask God to protect us, shield us. And in her prayer, she also prayed. She said, Lord, as we are going to sleep, please watch over us and the gate man, because he also will be sleeping. She said it as part of her prayer that, God, don't think that that gate man there, don't think that that's where our confidence is. So please watch over us and also watch over the gate man, because he also will be sleeping. Now, if you're a gate man, you should not be sleeping. I'm simply telling you what the woman said. Is that okay? If you're a gate man and you're on duty, you are supposed to be a watchman. A watchman should be watching. Is that okay? But even when the watchman is watching, his watchfulness will still be in vain if God is not already protecting the thing. And this is one of the technologies that I'm trusting the Lord to help me to tease out in the course of the sessions that I will have upon this mountain. Because a lot of us do not understand the partnership of the Holy Spirit that is necessary for the realization of the invisible things of God on the face of the earth. So that some people think that if I have to labor so hard, how is God in it? How is God in it? If God is in it, how can it be that difficult? Hello? Hello? Let me tell you, if God is in it, it may be difficult, it may be easy. Notwithstanding, if God is not in it, it will amount to nothing. The difference between God's involvement and not is not difficulty or ease, it's reality. If God is not in it, there is nothing. It's not there. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I don't know if I taught you that before, that according to that passage in John chapter 15, I like that rendering, which is like the word for word rendering. It is that without me, you can do nothing. And I used to teach that I like the sound of without me, you can do nothing. It's so graphic. It was impressed upon my heart many years ago. And it was a major deliverance. It was deliverance both for me as a person with regards to how I process my own life and my calling under God. And for me as a person with regards to how I view and I value the things that happen that I see all around me. It's, for instance, it's one of the things that delivered me from being worried about the prosperity of the wicked. Huh? When Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You know, there are some people now that their defense, when you talk about wire fraud, internet fraud, being bad, is that the people that are doing the internet fraud, we call it Yahoo Yahoo in Nigeria, the people that are doing the internet fraud, you are doing righteous, the things they have, do you have? You are there complaining. In fact, some people will say, if person pass you, make you agree, say he pass you. Like, if the internet fraud is easy, why are you not doing it? No, the reason we are not doing it is not because it is hard or because it is easy. It's because Jesus is not inside it. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I'm trying to explain to you that Jesus didn't hear me very well. It is supposed to also mean, without me, you cannot do anything. But see it like this. Jesus is saying, without me, you can do. But what you do without me is called nothing. It's nothing. Now, this nothing, you will not know this nothing if you don't have access to the shekels of the sanctuary. If you use any other scale of measurement and of valuation, your reading will not be nothing. You will come out with something like gold. You might come out with something like millions. You might come out with something like billions. Are you there? You might even come out with something like millionaire. That is because you are using a faulty scale. The scales of eternity, they are quite different. Because Jesus said to some people in his days, he said, you are the one that justifies yourself. He says, God knows your heart. For the things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination before the Lord. So, it's important that you understand that Jesus is not just saying, if you take that literally, the way I want you to take it, Jesus is not just saying, without me, you cannot do anything. It means it. But hear me graphically. Jesus is saying, without me, you can do nothing. The name of what you do without me is called nothing. So, I see a lot of Christians that are envious of nothing. Envious of nothing. I see Christians that are having sleepless nights over nothing. Huh? I see Christians that are trying to compete heavily with nothing. The thing that is giving you sleepless night and making you restless. If only you were able to peep from the windows of heaven. If you just climbed up a little bit. If you leave ground level a little bit. And follow that traffic of angels. If you climb that ladder, small, and you start to see from the vintage, you realize that according to those that dwell above, the thing you are looking at there is nothing. Because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. So when God is saying it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my spirit. At bottom, it's a profound partnership that God is trying to espouse to us. Profound partnership. So you'd realize that when you come into the New Testament, Paul will say, don't judge anything before the time. Because the day we reveal every man's work, of what sort it is. And then he goes on to say to us that if any man's work, whether it be of gold, or whether it be of silver, or whether it be of wood, or whether it be of hay, every man's work shall be tried by fire to know what sort it is. And those that are close home have also taught you that the Bible says it is to know what sort, not to know what size. Because if you are looking for size, you will not use fire. If you want to know how heavy something is, do you throw it into the fire? No. You put it on a scale. So you read it in kilograms or pounds. But they say every man's work will be tried by fire to see what sort it is. Until we know the quality of your work, nobody cares in heaven about its quantity. Because if you have an entire skyscraper high and 17 football field wide, you know, size of work. Those of us that are mortals, when we look at it, we look at the size. The immortals, when they look at it, they look at the sort. God will put an inside there and try. He say, is this grass? Is this? What sort is this? Well, to show it to you guys, what sort it is. God will throw it into the fire. Then, this skyscraper high, 17 football field wide volume of work is leaked up. And then the man that brought it, that all of us were looking at him and say, hey, you now, at this point, you're already tempted to hide your own that you brought, that is just like this cup. Say, ah. You know, there are some places that when you go and you see the way people are buying things, see the way they are buying things, you just keep giving them space. Say, just go first. Because you want to, you know, in these days of the Mad King, have you been to the filling station? In these days of the Mad King, you've not been to the filling station. So sometimes you come to the filling station and somebody is coming with this very beautiful, big looking SUV. He now parks by the dispenser at the filling station. When the fuel attendant said, how much? You will not hear what they are saying. Ah, sir? 1.5. Sir? 1.5. Because the man doesn't want anybody inside. Within hearing distance to hear how much fuel he now wants to put into this big car. Because a big car like this should take big fuel. Isn't it? So because he doesn't have enough money, the same thing used to happen at ATMs. That time, the former Mad King. You know, I don't use the ATM anymore. But I remember those days during the former Mad King. I remember how somebody well dressed, like really, really well dressed, will come and stand in front of that ATM, and then he's wasting everybody's time. Every amount that he puts in the thing is still saying insufficient. You say. $1,200. Then at some point the machine will now say that this machine only delivers money in multiples of 500. Hi. Now this my 1,400. That 400 on top of the 1,000 is very important. So the man will just take his card and say next person, then go and make phone call. And then maybe we call Sabinus. You say, you if he loan me 200, 150, because bank fee collect charge from inside, so that I can extract my 1,500 naira from the machine. It is the kind of thing that happens to many believers when they see people parading nothing. They become ashamed. Meanwhile, what you have is substance. What you have is reality. Back in the day, we used to sing in children's church, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It may not be much, but if you touch it, you will be burnt. Hey, this my light, little as it is a burning and a shining light. It is light. It may be small, but don't mistake it for feebleness and impotence. If you touch it, you will have a scar. You will tell the story. You will lose the use of that finger for a couple of days. And when it has healed, there will be a permanent mark there to remind you consistently that you touched Gideon's fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I am welcoming you to this mountain this night with this church because God calls us. God calls us into a partnership. A partnership that is going to be facilitated by His very Spirit. The things you will do after now, even though you will do the things, you will do them but not by might. You will do them but not by power. You will do them, but you will do them by the Spirit of the Lord. So you will be a bit of a puzzle. People will look at you. When they say, how? You say, it's God. They say, I beg. What do you mean by it's God? The rest of us, is God fighting with us. What do you mean by it's God? Well, it is God. When the person say it is God, he's not lying. Are you with me? He's not lying. It's the same kind of dilemma, if I may call it so, that Paul was trying to establish in 1 Corinthians, is it 15? When he says, I'm the least of the apostles, and I'm not qualified to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he says, that grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain because I labored more than they all, yet not I, but. So you are saying, I labored more than they all. Then you now say, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored. The grace was not in vain. The only way that grace was not in vain was because I labored. And then the man now said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So it is this puzzle. I labored, yet not I. I labored, yet it was not I that labored. It was the grace of God that was with me. You want to say, can you stand in one place so that the thunder will know where to land? Was it you that labored, or was it the grace of God that labored? Paul said, I labored, yet not I. It was me, but it was the grace of God. You will see these kinds of statements all over the place. Have you realized? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer yet I live. It is no longer I that live. Then he now says, the life that I live. Who is living? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live. You just told us now that. Say, Paul, what is this? Is it you that is living or is Christ that is living? Is it you that labored or the grace of God that labored? Are you the one building or it is the Lord that is building? Are you seeing the point? So when God is saying, by my spirit, that is the greatest encouragement that you need in order to put your hands to the plow and to never look back. And tonight, and for the rest of the course of this conference, the reality that you need, the deposit, the capital, the investment that you need in order for you to be able to stand and to say, yet not I, but Christ. And the life that I live, everybody must live this kind of paradox. Hello? It's a paradox. Everybody must, this is the way that life in the spirit was meant to be deployed. Those that have received the abundance of grace are the ones that are supposed to labor the most. That grace of God that God promises is supposed to be the thing that encourages you, that gives you the confidence to know that your labor will strike something in the realm of the heavens. Otherwise, it is nothing. Because I know that everything that I strike is going to have a correspondence in the realm of eternity. That's all the more reason to keep striking. Are you there? If God is not going, let me not waste my time. But if God is going, here we come. In winter, in sunshine, in rain, come waters, come sunshine, come hail, come high waters. If God is going, here we come. It might be tough, but if God is involved, here we come. It might be hard, but if God is involved, here we come. With God, all things are possible. Are you with me? Even difficult things are possible. With God. Hello? With God, all things are possible, including difficult things. With God, all things are possible, including hard things. The things that are hard for men. When men partner with God, hard things, you can plow through them. Because of the God factor, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The answer is no. So if I see God going in a direction, even if it looks like there's no road there, if that's where God is going, we will bore through it. There will be a road. It may look like the wilderness. It may look like Egypt is before you and there's a Red Sea. Egypt is behind and there's a Red Sea before you. If God is still moving forward, bro, there's a road through that wilderness, through that Red Sea. You will not know until you take the next step. Many times you won't know the next thing that will happen until you take the present step you need to take. By my spirit means that there is a partnership that is going to be the only reason why you will realize the things of your life. And God was sending the prophet to say to Zerubbabel, in Haggai, it was to say to him, be strong and walk. In Zechariah, it was to say to him, do not forget. Do not forget. It's not by might. It's not by power. It is by my spirit, says the Lord. So tonight, we want to ask the Lord, the Father of the Spirit of all flesh, we want to ask the Lord, the things that you have ordained for me, so that by them, I might be able to labor for that which counts as reality in the realm. On this mountain, we came to receive capital.
Hello?
Sometimes, I think in some few days, there are things they call seed investment or something like that. We came to receive capital from the Lord. The thing that God has called you to do, if you will ever do it, it is by His Spirit. That's my point. But I want you to have gotten this, my language of partnership tonight. I say, if you will do it, you will do it. But if you will do it, you will do it by the Spirit of the Lord. And so that Spirit of the Lord comes to us. Number one, as a person. And then number two, the influences of that Spirit are released to us, so that by them, we might be able to prosecute the purposes of God if we apply ourselves. And so that the result of such exertion of ourselves will not be credited to us, but it will be credited to the Lord by whose Spirit we performed it. I'd already closed my Bible, but because I wanted to close now. But let me read it out for you. When Mary said, "How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" You remember? When they said, "You will conceive, and you will bear in your belly, and you will bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus." She said, "How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" What was the answer of the angel? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, critical. Therefore, because of this, that holy thing also shall be called the Son of the Highest." That is to say, because it is the Holy Spirit that will come upon you and the power of the Most High that will overshadow you, when you give birth to that son, the son you will give birth to will be called by the name of the Lord whose Spirit came upon you. Because if the Spirit of God did not sponsor it, God cannot receive the glory that comes out of it. I want you to know that anything you can do in yourself, by yourself, hello, God will have no part in the glory that comes out of it. God is not such a, he's not that kind of person that the servant thought he is. That says, "I know you are a wicked man. You reap where you have not sown." No. God does not seek to reap where he has not sown. Anywhere that God has not made an investment, God does not seek to reap a harvest. Anything you do in the energy of the flesh, you can keep it to yourself. God does not want to be identified with it. If God did not invest in it, God does not want to harvest from it. So, if you want to walk the works of God, if you want to go the mile that God has ordained for you, God says to us, it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my Spirit. And when I come back, I will look at the context of the actual doctrinal context of the passage. What does it mean, not by might? What does it mean, not by power? Because you need to understand that, so that we'll understand the distinction that God is trying to draw. What I've tried to do this evening is to solve what you might call a grammatical problem, a comprehension problem, just to help us to understand that first and foremost, when God is saying, "By my Spirit," he's not saying you can go and sleep, my Spirit will handle it. No. God is actually saying, you can now walk because my Spirit will sponsor it. Do you get it? Yes, and because God has said it will happen by my Spirit, that is the greatest mobilization that you and I need to throw our neck into the labors of the King and to not look back. Because he that will come, and he will not tarry. And I tell you that when that day breaks, as the songwriter says, that eternal morning, when that eternal morning shall break bright and fair, and the saints of God shall gather over on the other side, and there will be a roll call. Men and women will be remembered by what they have done for God in the strength of his Spirit. For when the Savior shall make up his jewels, when the bright crowns of rejoicing are worn, then shall his weary and faithful disciples all be remembered for what they had done. When that day breaks, may you not come with an empty basket. And if you are not going to come with an empty basket, you are going to be needing those after those after those after those of that which comes from above. For that which is from above is above all. For a man can receive nothing except it's been given to him from above. So again, we have come this year and we're asking God for an investment of spiritual capital, an investment of holy deposit. And you want to say, my name is Gideon and I came. My name is Gideon. I came. Can you pray in a moment? My name is Gideon. I came. I came. I came. My name is Gideon. And I came. I came. The next lap. The next season. I came. I came. Maybe you came here burnt out. Maybe you came here fatigued. Maybe you came here discouraged. Oh, maybe you came here feeling frail. Frail from exertion and exhaustion. You want to say, I came, I came, I came, I came. Mele no ko parati akuba. We don't have a lot of time tonight. I want to release you. So you want to pray. You want to pray earnestly. I came, I came, I came. Look thou upon me, Lord, be merciful unto me. I came. I came. I came. Just as I am, I came. I am tired, but somehow I managed. I came. I'm about to give up. But somehow, with the last dregs of grace yet available, I manage by grace. I came, I came, I came. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. I came. I came. Melane no koberana. I don't know how you came. But you want to say, I'm here nonetheless. Maybe you came excited. I'm happy for you. You want to say to him, I came. Maybe you came and it's your last day. You came with the last card that you have in your faith bank. And you are hanging to the last thread of faith that you can muster. And you are saying, God, please answer me. Yes, you can also say, I came. I came. No hope in sight, but I came. I have no plan, I have no strategy, but I came. I came. I came. I came. Jesus, I came. Jesus. I am weary, but I came. I'm heartbroken, but I came. I've suffered delays. I've suffered frustrations. I have suffered, but I came. Somehow, I managed. I came. Come for me. Come for me. Come for me. Don't leave me alone. Marenas kombre katia loma. Abrofelas kibara kwata mahade. Can you stand to your feet for the next 30 seconds? I came. I am alame na tuana mohaba. Bari akome la tua saba. Repeneta. Repenetuaka. Bera tua koma katua kubaha. Bere kontasi kabu akato. Lemino kudi akateleme kota yatama. Aranioko borako sosasi. I came. I need answers. But I came. I have no answers. But I came. I want you to tell the Lord tonight, the only thing you have is your presence. You came. You came. I have no claim to anything other than here am I, here am I, here am I. I came. You that dwell between the cherubim, shine forth because I came, I came, I came. Look upon me, O God. Look upon me, O God. Look upon me, O God. That I might gaze upon your countenance. Look upon me, O God. Lift upon me the light of your countenance. Oh, oh.
See your holy face, Emmanuel. When you come to reign, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, will you come again, Emmanuel? Help the church to see your holy face, Emmanuel, when you come to reign, Emmanuel, your name, Emmanuel, will you come again, Emmanuel? Emmanuel, I came, Emmanuel, your name, Emmanuel, will you come again, Emmanuel, help Gideon to see your holy face, Emmanuel. When you come to reign, Emmanuel, yes. Some of us, we didn't even have transport fare, but somehow here we are. Lord, we came. Please come for us. 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 Emmanuel. When you come to reign, rest and refreshing, yes. Yeah. We came, Jesus, that you might look upon us, that you might invest capital, spiritual capital. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I wanted to bring a short charge and get out of your way. I'm about to step out of your way. But there are two persons very desperate. Now God wants to answer immediately tonight. You came here believing, you came here expecting, you came here praying, and Jesus wants to acknowledge you in his mercies tonight. Two of you, wrap up the service. Yes, Jesus. So Jesus is going to respond to those two persons. Then I'll shut this down. Begin the procession properly tomorrow. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. They came expecting. They came desperate. And even after such a word, you said you will respond. You will respond tonight. So Jesus, in your sovereignty, I'm asking that where these two persons are, whoever they are, Jesus, The deposit of capital has begun. It's begun already. 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 It's begun already because he answers prayers. It's begun already. Because the arm of flesh will fail you. You need a deposit from heaven. And there are desperate persons tonight. Two of them I can tell very clearly that Jesus says their investment, the investment into their lives, it begins tonight. Wherever you are, you will receive a deposit from grace. Aha. 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 Yes. Yes. We're almost done, but there's somebody, it's not yet complete. It's not yet complete. It's not yet complete. There's a fire. There's a fire coming into your belly. Coming into your belly. With it. With it. You will do life. With it. You will do ministry. With it. You will do spiritual warfare. Aha. Aha. My belly shall flow rivers. Yeah, yeah. It's almost done. Yes, we're almost there. Out of your belly flow.
Set a seal to that which you have done. Father, we ask, let there be no end to the investment that you make upon this mountain. We may have might, we may have power, but you are unambiguous. You said it is not by might, and you said it's not by power. You said it is by your spirit. That's why we came. We came for your spirit. It is your nature and custom to be generous. Lord, we look forward with eager anticipation to benefit from your generosity again. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.